I think that's how the intro goes. Hello, you're listening to the Squabblecast with Kai and Maisie.
If that's not how the intro ends, can you just add it to the end like that, as you just did?
Completely so. My name's Kai Valentine. That is Miss Maisie Anderson.
Woo!
We are Squabblecast here on the Trending Topics Network. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, Kai! It's the first time I've seen you.
Since the new year?
In the new year. It's the first time I've seen you all year.
Just to let everyone know, we are recording this at 4:15 on the 2nd of the 1st, 2018. And if 2017 has taught me anything, it's that I should time date everything I say on the radio. Because, let's face it, things can change very, very quickly in this world.
Oh, yeah.
And it means that sometimes some views may be a bit out of date by the time that they end up being uploaded. But we're going to talk all about 2017 today. That's the plan, isn't it?
It is the plan. I don't really want to.
Well, we originally wanted to do a Christmas special.
Yeah. And you cancelled.
I cancelled because...
You realised that you only get X amount of time off of work and you didn't want to spend it with me.
Yes, retail retail at Christmas. Maisie, let's just get into that first. How's it been?
I survived. I wasn't miserable. I actually, my shift on New Year's Eve, I actually enjoyed a bit of that because it was only a 5-hour shift, so it wasn't too bad. No, it was a 6-hour shift. So it's either way, wasn't super long or arduing. I got my half-hour break, or 15 minutes.
Half-hour break? I get 20
minutes. No, 15 minutes for 6 hours.
What? I get 20 minutes as long as I hit 6 hours.
The way ours works is really complicated. Anyway, not getting into that now. It was quite funny. I was judging people so hard on Christmas Eve because... For those of you who don't know, I work in a well-known bargain brand kind of store. And people were buying last-minute Christmas presents, and it was hilarious. Including one guy who actually came in, went straight to my manager, who was on the checkout at the time because it was that busy, and went, "I need a present for my sister. What have you got?" And he's like, "I don't know your sister."
He should have responded going, last night when I was talking to her.
Yeah, it's like last night after the sex. No, what he said was like, "What kind of stuff does she? How old is she?"
That's always the best one to go with. How old is she? Don't send him down one direction and then they go, "She's 7."
Yeah, don't tell him to go to the. The sexy bit.
Let's leave that in 2017.
And he was like, "Oh, what? So how old is she?" 16. It's like, "Well, we have a makeup section." Like, that tends to be quite,
going
just
to
get a
your store. Your bargain store for makeup.
I'm wearing some of their makeup now, actually. Yeah.
Wow.
Most of it. Fuck you. Most of it's expensive shit I got for Christmas, but the contour kit that I got as my Secret Santa. I didn't buy it myself. This was bought for me as part of the Secret Santa. Because the way our store works is that we have to buy something from that store. Because that way everyone knows how much we spent and we had a limit. Anyway.
Retail for me at Christmas. Yeah. I'll tell you what though. It's my first year in retail. It's your first year in retail.
Yeah, this is the first time we've both worked retail at Christmas.
I had a choice. I had a choice of either having Christmas Eve... We're closed on Christmas Day. Yeah. And I had the choice of either having Christmas Eve and Boxing Day off or New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. So I decided to have Christmas Eve and and Boxing Day off.
Yeah,
which worked really well for me because I'm travelling away.
Well, the issue I had with this is I'm contracted for a certain set of hours and they put me in on Boxing Day, which shouldn't count as my registered hours. New Year's Eve fell in those hours. Christmas Eve fell in those hours. I was fine with that. Look, I knew that when I signed up that I have to work on a Sunday. Christmas Eve is Sunday.
Yes.
The following Tuesday, I was set into work that afternoon. And I, like you, I have to travel for Christmas because my family don't live locally. And I told my manager that, and she basically turned around to me and said that I had to do that shift, even though it's not my contracted hours. It's overtime that I'm being forced to do.
It's a strange one when it comes to...
I'm not getting paid extra for it. I get the same amount of pay as I always do. and they didn't even fucking need me in, because when I went on that shift, it was dead, because it's Boxing Day.
It was apparently very busy in my store on Boxing Day. I work for a coffee chain, just so people know.
So yeah, like food and drink is different. People always want food, and if they're going out for the day, they want food and drink.
Tell you when they don't want it. New Year's Day, yesterday morning, I was there bright and early, 8 a.m. I had to walk from my girlfriend's, so that was 7:30 to 8. It took me to walk there. I get there, literally, the whole of town is dead. Mm-hmm. I had to walk past two other of my coffee chain to get to the one that I was working in, which is a ball ache. And then,
but you have to walk past two?
Yes, because there is one.
Oh, there is, yeah.
Yeah, there's two on my way to work.
Yeah, there's one near... Yeah, near. Yeah,
I passed, in that 30-minute walk, 25-minute walk, I passed four people. One of them was a regular customer who then realised that we were open and headed towards us an hour later. But I was just there, like, I got there, I did a little bit of, I wiped down the sides, because I didn't do, I knew I was, because I was also on New Year's Eve, so I didn't clean it down very well, because I knew I needed something to do in the morning. I got there, I made myself a hot chocolate, and with cream, and I'd give myself a few little extras, because, you know, it's New Year's Day, start the year off right with a bad hot chocolate by Kai, and, just no customers for about an hour.
Really?
And then we had about four off between 9 and 10, but who opens at 8 o'clock on a on the New Year's Day? In the end, we had a rush between big groups of families turning up between 1 and 2 o'clock. So we had this rush of an hour. Then my shift finished at 2:30. And I went, hey, I'm off home.
Yeah.
I left them with a queue out of the door.
I'm bad at doing that as well. On Christmas Eve, we started getting busy. Because, New Year's Eve, there was barely anyone coming in. For most of the morning, I worked the open, so it was 9:30 when I started, and we were closing early at 4 because it was Christmas Eve. New Year's Eve. I have to stop doing that. Yeah, New Year's Eve. And it was quite slow. It was so slow that one of the other weekend people who works with me and has the same ish hours, he was in an hour early. He normally comes in as I'm leaving and takes over for my job, because I'm in charge of the self-service on Sundays. And he was an hour early. And for most of that hour, he was just stood around nearby me, just talking, because there was nothing to do until about 30 minutes before I left, when it got really busy all of a sudden. And it suddenly, and the phrase that I use the most to this guy is "not my problem." as soon as it becomes 1:30, I'm just like, not my problem, bye. Just wander away.
Well, to be honest, we're normally quite nice about it, and also they normally have enough hours to pay me more to stay later. But we now, in January, for people who don't know how retail works, in January, there aren't as many hours for the bosses to give the staff.
Yeah.
So my hours have dropped this week from 45... Well, actually, over the course of 2 weeks, he dropped from 45 to 35. This week, I'm doing 28.5 hours.
Just,
and then
still...
next week, I'm doing 29. And then I've got 34 the week after, and then I'm going on my holidays. I've got 26 days holiday to use.
And you're using them all at once?
No.
No.
No, because I get five... For every 5 holiday dates I get, I basically get 9 days off.
Sweet.
So I've got 9 days off in January, I'm then back for a week, and then I'm having another 9 days off in February, and then back for another 3 weeks, and then I'm having some more time off in March.
I have no idea how my holidays work. I know that I get a holiday. I'm allowed to say that weekend I'm not working.
Ask. Work it out. That's what I did. But I've not taken any holidays since I joined this company in June.
Yeah.
So, hey, Kai gets a break.
Woo! So, yeah, that's us bitching about our jobs.
Well,
we spend a lot of these podcasts bitching about our jobs.
We do. But, Maisie, we're going to bring back a great segment right after this.
Hi, I'm TV's Adam Pearson, and you're listening to Kai and Maisie on Scorebox. Get back to work.
A little bit outdated there, Squabblebox, Squabblecast, but, you know, we'll go with it still. It's the only one I could find. We need a new one, Adam. We need a new jingle.
Exactly.
What?
We need a new one.
Yeah, well, all right. Oh, well, you put so much time into the editing process of this show.
I do. I do everything around here.
So,
I was on time.
The topic this... Well, we're going to be talking... The main topic for this week, of course, is 2017 in review. But, Maisie, can you believe that? New Zealanders build island in bid to avoid alcohol ban. Have you heard about this?
I know that New Zealand is an alcohol is a subject at the moment.
There is a alcohol ban going on in I can never pronounce the names of places. Coromandel.
Can I see what how is it spelled?
It's spelled like Coromandel. That one there.
Oh, I've not... I have got my glasses on.
Coromandel over the New Year... Right, so I'm going to read it. This is from BBC News.
Yeah.
A group of New Zealanders have constructed a sand island in coastal waters, seemingly in a creative attempt to avoid a ban on drinking in public places.
Okay, I think drinking in public places makes sense.
The group built the structure at low tide in the estuary on the Coromandel Peninsula, I can say that one, on Sunday afternoon, reports said. They then installed a picnic table and ice box for drinks. And the locals joked that they were in international waters and thus exempt from the official liquor ban.
I think you have to be quite a bit further out to be international waters, don't you?
So there's been... I mean, they sat there, though, and they watched the fireworks, and you can see the photo there.
It was because of New Year's Eve, they wanted to...
Sit out in public,
and have a drink, celebrate New Year's.
And watch the fireworks.
Of the ban... They can't do that with alcohol.
Yeah, so the BBC carries on to report saying that the ban on public drinking is enforcing Coromandel over the New Year period, and those violating the ban face a fine of $250, that's about £130 in our currency, or arrest. But authorities seem to be taking the initiative in light-hearted spirit. Now this is a quote from, and I'm going to say who it is first, local police commander Inspector John Kelly said, "That's creative thinking. If I'd known about it, I would have probably joined them."
That's great. Aww. I love New Zealand.
The images were posted in the local Facebook group by David Saunders, and Mr. Saunders told the BBC, "It was great to see some Kiwis having a bit of fun." And a well-known community organiser, Noddy Watt, said the ban was not working and was simply resulting in swaths of arrests. He said the police were dealing with drunk teens. That's not what they're there for, that's what parents are for. Bit of a strong statement there, but the police and St John are also getting frustrated the result.
Were they quoting someone?
Oh, that wasn't the BBC.
Yeah,
that
I was going to say, that's quite harsh for the BBC to be saying.
The police in St John were getting frustrated with the result and said it has to change, said Mr. Watts, according to the New Zealand Herald. Ooh. So there is this big... We're not going to talk about, the big issue here, which, of course, is, this whole drinking ban and whether it's right or wrong. How funny is that?
That is really funny.
I like it. It's a good story, and it's a great way to kick off 2018.
Yeah.
You're sticking it to the man.
Start your year off right. Because I did something... I made a new tradition this year for New Year's Eve.
What did you do?
I bought new pyjamas and a new dressing gown so I can start the new year all fresh and new and comfy.
I used to go into the new year in my underpants. That's what I liked.
Yeah.
My grandparents didn't like it when I was sat in their living room with them trying to do auld lang syne.
You did not.
I was talking to Chris from Siren Radio earlier, and he was saying that his New Year's resolution is to learn the lyrics for auld lang syne. Which I think is a great one. Yeah.
Do you have a New Year's resolution?
Yes. I said this on my show last night on Ann Chill. This is where Kai gets all deep and personal because he was tired at 11:30 at night. Oh. My New Year's resolution is to start putting myself first for once and to relax a bit more and kind of try and enjoy life.
Yeah, no, I agree with that one. For you.
For you.
I chill out all the time. I'm way too chill. I only work 2 days a week.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I mean, I feel like that now. Like I say, I'm doing 28 and a half hours this week.
That's still more than double what I do.
But I'm doing 5.5 hours a day. Which is strange, because I'm not getting any breaks.
Oh, that sucks.
It means I'll probably lose a bit of weight, because I won't be eating the food from this particular store. But yeah, it's. I'm looking forward to having a bit of a rest. Sitting back, relaxing. And chilling out on a Monday evening on Siren Radio.
Stop!
Alright, and before Maisie gets really annoyed, let's go into our 20s.
You're not going to ask me what my resolution is.
Oh, sorry, yeah, what's your New Year's resolution?
I don't have one.
You don't have one?
I never have one.
Make one.
You want me to make one?
Yes.
But why?
You make one. You think of one, whilst...
Okay, over the course of this episode, I will think of a New Year's resolution.
Cool.
I will reveal it by the end.
I think I've found another promo from Adam. Let's see what this one sounds like.
You're listening to Scorebox with Kai and Maisie, the best place in the world for squabbling and boxes.
I like that one.
I remember when we got him to do those, we didn't give him any...
No.
Any prompts?
We didn't, and that's we got things like this one.
Hi, I'm TV's Adam Pearson, and you're listening to Kai and Maisie on Scorebox. Get back to work.
That's the one you've already played.
One that we've already played. Oh,
I know, you're trying to find the BBC one.
Yeah, the one where he slags off his employers. Now I'm only joking, Adam.
But he does do that.
Yeah, he does. He does that a lot. There's this one. What is this?
An action. That was
You're listening to Scorebox with Kai and Maisie, the best place in the world.
Oh, no, they're all just... Oh, well, let's move... One more try. Let's try this one, and then we'll move on with the show.
And action.
Hi, I'm TV's Adam Pearson, and you're listening to Kai and Maisie on Scorebox.
Get back to work. I'll find them for
How
future
many different
episodes.
Versions of Get Back to Work do you have?
I don't know. Let's try this.
No.
Action.
You're listening to Siren FM, who apparently are a radio station in a uni, and not the other way around. Who knew? Enjoy.
That is true.
Right, let's move on, Maisie.
How long has this episode been going on for?
We are 17 minutes in, and we haven't talked about 2017 once.
We mainly through slagging off our jobs.
What happened in 2017? That is what I'm typing into a search engine now.
Yeah, well, we had a sort of basic agreement of we're going to get all the bad shit out the way first.
Yeah.
So we can move on to some of the nicer things.
So, what happened in 2017, Maisie? Let's start off with January. It was January the 11th or the 10th.
Yeah.
Last year. It's almost been a year, guys.
No. 3 more to go.
Maybe a bit more. And like, when we're getting, like, annoyed at this, and our American listeners are there going... Oi, we're living this shit.
Yeah.
I know. We're obviously talking about Donald Trump. It's been a strange year. A reality star is currently the president of the United States.
Yeah, and he keeps getting in trouble.
Yeah.
A lot. Well, I don't want to get super political or start any conspiracy theories. However, there has been a lot of talk recently that he's literally just a figurehead and that he isn't making any decisions. He's literally just making a nuisance out of himself.
Yeah.
And sort of distracting people while his vice president, Mike Pence, is actually making decisions, and so are the sort of a couple of generals who are head of certain departments.
Well, that's what happens with most presidencies, though, and people
in
charge.
Yeah, but most presidents do actually put forward the ideas for new things and make actual active decisions. He has said, Donald Trump has said, that he doesn't like to read. So whenever he gets memos, he asks that they be a certain length because he doesn't want to read more than a page.
What I want to know is that what...
I don't know how true any of this is, by the way.
Like, what happened... Yeah, but, like, whatever we say is just the opinions of Kai and Maisie and not really that well-educated views. When it comes to American politics, I'm quite... I've kind of lost my love for following it. I was really into it. I used to watch Last Week Tonight, John Oliver. I used to watch The Daily Show a lot, which are obviously very, I know, very left-wing shows, but I used to catch on news stories from right-wing corporations as well and try and find that middle ground. To be honest, I get a lot of my stuff now from the BBC because I feel that that is a... good enough down the middle. It's the best.
It's as down the middle as you can get because they are so closely watched.
Yes.
And that's the problem is it depending on who is in power, depends on whether or not you think they're left wing or right wing.
Yes.
Because they seem to always be pro whichever party is the most powerful, just because they're the ones who fund them. So it does feel a little biased from time to time.
But
then again, you get left people from the left wing saying it's too right, people from the right wing saying it's too left, which means it must be somewhat in the middle.
Yeah, it's a strange one. And very much mainstream comedy, like Last Week Tonight is, like The Daily Show is, mainstream comedy shows are stereotypically left wing. I mean, you watch even things like American shows like The Late Late Show with James Corden. If he mentions Donald Trump, it gets massive boos. And those people who support Donald Trump are out there. They are, because he is the president. And that's what people need to get over the fact, is that there are people out there who support him. And whether you believe that that is right or wrong, the consensus has spoken.
Yeah, well,
if you've got a problem with it, blame your voting system.
Yes, the voting system is dumb. How does it work that certain states are worth more than others?
Oh, does work.
Because, does it, though?
Yeah, because it's to do with the
but
fact...
But then how come...
It's not that their opinions are worth more, it's that they have more people.
Yeah, I get the populist bit, but the fact that then you have the... Is it the college vote?
Yes.
And that's the one that actually decides it?
Yeah, well, it's been the same as it for many years. Yeah, it's...
That does it. But the popular vote means nothing, even though X amount of people voted for this person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the best, let's face it.
I mean, ours but then isn't again, great.
First past the post isn't the best, really, because we don't actually vote for... A prime minister.
No.
Our prime minister is not voted in. They could Theresa May could step down tomorrow, and we would get a brand new. Now I know that they get a vice president, who then becomes president in America.
If
Theresa May stands down,
then the party votes.
Party votes in or just places it. Yeah, it's a strange one.
It's not up
one.
To us but, who the individual is. No.
Donald Trump has just been... He has dominated this year's news. Let's face it.
If he hasn't, then his family has.
And when you look at things like... When you look at the situation that we are in now, which is kind of scary times in that we do have, like, North Korea kicking off, for lack of a better term. The first news story I read on the 1st of January, it was in the morning, about 7:30 a.m. on my way to work, I popped open BBC News and there was an article with a quote from Kim Jong-un as the first status, as the title, just going, "I have the red button. I have the nuclear red button on my desk." How shit scary is that?
Very.
That is now whether it's true or not, I highly doubt.
Mm.
But it's just the idea that these are two men that have not got the
have
best
no
of...
right being in charge of countries.
Yeah.
Realistically,
it's a bit like, oh, this is scary. This is scary, scary times. And every year we go, well, something might kick off. And it never does, in the sense of...
No, it's mutually
massive...
assured destruction is the only thing that's holding the world together at any given time.
Yeah.
It's the fact that if one person gigs off, the whole world going up in flames.
I've always
no
said
one's safe.
If I'm really happy with how where we are in Lincoln and in Lincolnshire, because if World War III kicks off, or if you know, nuclear warfare kicks off, I want to be right by them. The RAF base. I want to be right there, first place blown up, gone.
Wait, what? You saying you want to be?
Yeah, if
in the place that's most likely to get blown up.
Yes, don't you? Nuclear warfare.
You want to be killed as soon as possible.
Yes, I don't want to be around. Have you seen like the videos and the aftermath of like Nagasaki and stuff? I don't want to be in that kind of situation. I want to be first one gone. Just get me out of here.
So you think they'd go, if we were in Lincolnshire, you think that they would attack the RAF base first?
That's,
do you think that's top priority, is Lincolnshire's RAF base out of...
They'll go for the... a nuclear weapon can and has been proved could just blow up the whole of the UK.
Yeah, we are a very small island. Like, everyone's going at once, mate.
Everyone's going. Don't you be all selfish going, oh, I need to be near that place. You're all going to die.
Women and children first.
Women and children are all going to die first. Guy, think of killing the children first. Right, well, so Donald Trump has been a big part of this year. So has politics in the UK.
Yeah.
We've had another... it's all rolling into one now. We had an election. Did we have a referendum this year, or was it last year?
That was 2016, was
that
the
was
referendum.
That was 2016. The hell is going on? Like, we were hoping that this next year will be a quieter year. In fact, political analyst, I can't remember his name, but he's just got a knighthood.
Ooh.
I can't remember his name. John Curtis.
Aye.
And he said that it was unanticipated. He also has a Twitter account dedicated to him by a fan called Is John Curtis on TV? It's called at John Curtis on TV, and they basically take a photo every time he's on TV to let all these followers know. It has 526 retweets of him being on TV.
Sweet.
During the last election coverage. But people love to see him because he has correctly predicted on the night the exit polls for the past 30 years.
Yeah.
And they use his political analysis for many different things. But he's... there's a bit here where he starts talking about... he says, I guess... like he admitted that he hopes 2018 will be a quieter year for politics. I guess, like many other people in the political world, I'm on tenterhooks as to what 2018 will bring. Many people will be hoping, in contrast to the last 4 years, there will not be a major election or referendum. But I guess we've learnt not to presume that will happen. If the government doesn't survive the next 12 months, it may be that I'm going to have to chance my reputation yet again with yet another exit poll. But in truth, I'm hoping not, and that 2018 will be a relatively quiet year for me. Like, bless him.
Yeah.
4 years in a row he's had to do these predictions. And it's not what you sign up for. When he got into, you know, predicting politics, he was thinking, just a job for once every 4 years, this.
That's the idea, yeah.
That is sarcasm, by the way. I do realise that politics can be analysed at any point. But
yeah, it's been crazy. Especially because with the general election as well, a lot of stuff got turned around. An awful lot of towns that are traditionally conservative flipped
here
this
in
year.
Lincoln.
Lincolnshire did, and Canterbury did. Canterbury's an even bigger one because it was... it's been conservative for over 100 years.
Wow.
And because of people's passion for politics this year, an awful lot of younger voters came out, especially because Canterbury has a lot of different universities as well, that everyone came out and voted, and our percentage... like, our age group's percentage went massively up. and they think that's what swung an awful lot of towns and constituencies to change from Conservative to Labour.
Well, it's like in our hometown, Huddersfield.
Huddersfield.
we've had Barry Shearman as our MP. So you're looking at me going, have we? I don't know.
I know exactly who he is, because every year a newsletter will be posted through the letterbox of the Labour... Like, it's called like something like the Labour Rose or something. And it's just pictures of him pointing at roads he's fixed. Sometimes in a different shirt, but most of them you can clearly see were taken on the same day.
He was crouching once.
It was funny. I do like
Barry Shearman, mainly because...
I just like the photos.
But yeah, he's been Labour MP for Huddersfield since 1979.
No.
Yeah. I know.
No! Yep. That's amazing!
And he was chair of the Education Select Committee from 2001 to 2010 as well under Tony Blair and Gordon Brown. He's been 1979, the 3rd of May he assumed office, so that's
1979.
A lot of years.
That's...
30-odd years, nearly. Nearly 30 years, 28 years.
Yeah, 28 years.
No, 29
years. 29 years.
29 years.
In office.
If he can last till next year.
I'm sure he will.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's not going to be another local election for a while now.
No.
That I know of.
We
say that about a really specific town in England.
He is 77 years old as well.
No! He looks so young.
No, he doesn't.
Wait, am I thinking of the right guy?
I don't think you're thinking of Barry Shearman. That's Barry Shearman.
Oh, he looks a lot older in his actual photo.
The
roads make him look so much younger.
That hard hat. Ooh.
Oh, it might be his like second hand who does all the pointing at roads thing.
Might be.
Anyway, it's always roads.
Anyway, that's Guy Amazing's politics review of the year. A bit of Barry Shearman, a bit of Donald Trump, and road pointing. If Donald Trump went around going, I fix this road, or I want to see photos of Donald Trump stood next to garden walls going, I built this wall, I kept my promise. That's what I want to see. I would vote for him then. Yeah. That's how Kai votes for Donald Trump.
Well, you know, okay, the whole wall thing, that's not even. It's not worth it. It's not worth the conversation.
Just don't bother, Donald. Don't bother.
Just don't.
Anyone who's in Home Alone 2 should never be allowed to be the President of the United States. Moving on, Maisie. Something more positive.
Are we going for positive next?
Yeah.
We're not. I thought we were going to do all the shit first, because we've still got some shit.
Right, let's... Yeah, what else?
Hollywood.
Oh, gosh. Harvey Weinstein... Yeah.
This was like the thread.
Just the whole...
Like, someone pulled the thread of Harvey Weinstein, and then the entirety of Hollywood collapsed.
You see, I didn't know who Harvey Weinstein was before this all kicked off.
I knew of Harvey
Weinstein. You did
Weinstein.
Film and television studies.
Yeah,
so
that's because I'm reasonably aware that he was a producer. I had no idea who he'd been working with or... obviously no one knew the stuff that was going on with him and all of these women, apart from obviously the women themselves.
And you know, that's it's a terrible thing, and it's something which has it's hard to say that it's a new thing, because it's been ignored for many, many years.
Yeah.
And actually it's kind of been a bit of an open secret. People have always known that, like,
it's
I've always
really...
heard, you always hear it in like movies and stuff that, you know, women sleep with directors to get to parts.
Yeah, it's a really common trope and joke that comes up a lot.
But I should point out that when I'm saying things like this, I'm not in any way saying that these women were either misled in many cases or abused. And that is something, that is what I'm saying.
Yeah, this wasn't a greedy woman wanting a better part, so sleeping with the director. This is... women who did not want these things to happen to them.
Exactly.
Being forced into it and knowing that if they had said no or fought back or told anyone about them, that they would have their careers taken away.
And it's a really scary prospect when you look at...
Yeah.
Like, we are in those creative industries.
Yeah, we are. And it really did... It didn't surprise me. That was a really angry... That was the thing that I think a lot of people came away from this going, well, that's... It's not surprising. Like, no one... If you told me this, like, last year or 100 years ago... Not 100 years ago. Or, like, back in the 20s... There's at no point in our history of Hollywood could you have said, oh yeah, this producer abused this girl, and at no point would anyone go, really? It's like it feels like common knowledge.
Hmm.
It's just that we didn't know the specifics until very recently, and it's not, and it reminds me a lot. There's a very similar thing about there's an area of it that's very similar to Yew Tree, which was. Yeah. I don't know how aware people in America would be of this, but the BBC, which we were just talking about quite favourably, during the 70s, a lot of the people who worked for the BBC, and most of them being public figureheads...
And
who
other media organisations.
Other media organisations as well, but the BBC was the one who was in the firing line the most. After Jimmy Savile died, people started speaking out about abuse... allegations.
Who was a children's entertainer and TV presenter in general.
Yeah, and the thing, and what happened with this was after an overwhelming amount of people came out and said that they had been in some way abused by him, then more and more people who were working at the same time in very similar fields were also being accused, and many of them are now in prison for retrospective allegations. So it even though there's certain laws about how long you have to wait, or if you wait too long, there's no longer enough evidence to prove it to be worth going to court. But many of those people are now in jail.
It's kind of changed the whole way that organisations are run for the better, and it's a shame that it
shouldn't
that.
Have had to taken this.
No.
The other thing that occurred. Especially, it was a similar thing with the Yew Tree stuff, is that, again, some people weren't surprised, especially when it came to Jimmy Savile, because there were a lot of times where he openly said that he slept with young women.
Mm.
The only thing is, he never said it was against their will, and he never said just how young they were, because he was, like, 70?
Yeah.
At the time
so
when he
was
saying all
young
these
women,
things,
you don't...
You think, oh, a 26-year-old.
Yeah.
Not... a 14-year-old girl, or sometimes younger.
Yeah, and men, we must point out.
And
as
men
well.
As well. Well, this is another thing that came out a lot in Hollywood, is an awful lot of... And this was the thing that happened with a famous actor who I always...
Kevin Spacey.
He came out... The thing that really fucked a lot of people over and made a lot of people angry was the fact that he said, it's okay that I abused this person... because I was hiding the fact I was gay, now I'm openly
well, he
gay.
Used, yeah, he,
so that means I'm off the hook.
He sort of used that as a way to...
Yeah, he was trying to distract from the negative by saying, but I'm going to be open from now on. It's
and
like,
that's...
No. That's why one of the best things that's come out of this is the fact that so many people have outwardly said that they will no longer work with these people. Finn Wolfhard, one of the younger actors from... Stranger Things,
yes,
and it. He found out that this had been happening in his casting company, the company that that his agents come from.
Right.
He found out that some of them had been put into these allegations, so he straight up just said, "If you're not going to fire these people, you're putting me and co-stars of mine who are the same age as me in a lot of danger. So I'm leaving." And I'm taking my business elsewhere. And the people have been really commending him for that. As well as the fact that with Kevin Spacey, he has been completely removed from a movie.
Yeah.
He's been edited out of a movie. And
they're going to kill him out of House of Cards as well.
Exactly. And it's... there's never a way... There's never at no point can you ever say that anything that has happened to these men and women... in this industry was ever a good thing. At no point can you turn around and say, I'm glad this happened because it's resulted in this many positive things. But you can at least say that, okay, so we need to learn from our mistakes, and the first thing we're going to do is chastise anyone who has done these things and not even made any attempt to take themselves away from it. Because there was another thing with Louis C.K., very well-known comedian and actor, when he was accused, instead of saying, no, I didn't do it, or making up an excuse, he did try and write an apology and basically say, I didn't realise at the time that I was forcing these women into doing things, but obviously the power I had over them, da 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 da. Some people commended him, saying, actually, you know, what you've owned up to it is good. And at the other end of the spectrum, people were saying, but that doesn't fix it. You're making these blanket apologies. They can never actually fix
the thing
what's
is,
happened.
Like, Is it weird to think that like, there are so many of these stories coming out, and it makes me wonder, like, what is going on with it to the point where we've got all these people who are, like, for lack of a better term, well, actually, no, for the correct term, abusers and paedophiles,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like a much more prevalent issue than we thought. Does that mean that there's people out there that you know who are...
This is something you have to sort of deal with day to day, and this is another problem. Is if you think about it too hard, then you also have to worry. Then you spend a lot of time worrying. Is the fact that anyone you could pass in the street, serve in a shop, be served by anyone that you could bump into, make contact with in any sense of the form, whether it's physical or passive or anything, they could have done any number of things, and they don't know whether you've done any number of things. Like, you could be passing someone in the street who has killed a man, and you have no idea of knowing, but worrying about that will only lead to misery.
And
I think the problem is, it's a human nature thing to assume the best of people.
How does the world move on from shit like this?
By remembering it is the most important thing, is by not letting it just be, okay, that's something that came out in 2017, let's move on to 2018 and pretend it never happened. The important thing is to move into 2018 and remember that there are people who broke silence about these things, who were commended for breaking this silence, because it's what we need to do. To the point where was the silence breakers. Now, there's all sorts of controversy around that because of the way that they depicted some of the silence breakers, and the fact that the woman who actually came up with the Me Too hashtag wasn't on the front page,
right,
but other people were. But the most important thing about that was that they also had a model represent the people who have not said anything, the people who are still silent. Because in the actual photo, you can see an elbow at the side of the table, and that's supposed to represent all of those women and men who still can't speak out.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most interesting, again, for lack of a better term, one of the most interesting things that came out of this was the actor Terry Crews. He is probably the height of traditional masculinity. He is a gorgeous, ripped black man who everybody loves. He is, in a way, he's sort of America's sweetheart, because he's very funny. Anything he's ever been in, he's been a fantastic character. When he plays himself, he is very sort of genuine and funny still. I really love him. And he came out around about the same time as all of this and said, I have also been sexually abused by a high-level producer, and I am going to take him to court. Because he can. Because it's been less than a year since the attack occurred. And he did it, A, because there's no way that this man should be allowed to get away with what he did, which was groping him in at a public place, in front of his wife as well. Like, he wasn't... This wasn't an instance where they were on their own. He this man who attacked him was so blatant about the fact that what he was doing should be considered okay in his mind that he had no care for who was around when it happened. And it's also an important way of saying that literally anyone can be abused, especially because with Terry Crews being a giant, very muscly man, it doesn't matter how physically strong you are or how dominating you are as a person, the shock that runs through you when something happens like that, it's a fight or flight instinct, and a lot of people run away or they get so shocked that they can't move. And it's that sort of idea of at no point should you ever victim blame and tell someone that they should have been able to fight them off, even if they are Terry Crews.
Yeah, that's very true. And I feel like we've talked a lot about the shit that happened in 2017. Yep. And there is so much more. You know, we had so many, like, there is a few more, but we're going to put a positive spin on some of them. Now, when we say positive spin, we don't mean, find a silver lining. We're going to say, here are the positive things that happened around them. There's an article that I found here on Business Insider UK. I also want to point out that I found a slight thing there. For the last sort of, well, since the beginning of the show, I was like, there's a slight buzzing in my ear. I wonder what that is. Turns out, when I unplugged my laptop, that buzzing stopped. So I have a feeling that there's a slight, you might have heard a slight buzzing in the background through the beginning of the show.
Is it your fan?
It was possibly the fan from my laptop. But it's all stopped now, yeah. So this will be nice. So this is from businessinsider.com. 80 heroic bystanders formed a human chain to save a drowning family on a Florida beach.
I saw that.
When 34-year-old Roberta Ursary's two young boys were swept away by a riptide in the waters of Florida in July, she and most of her family jumped in to rescue them. Then all six relatives became trapped by the same current. Others who tried to rescue them also struggled to get back to shore, leaving 9 people fighting for their lives. That's when 80 people formed a human chain from the beach to pass the distressed, exhausted swimmers back to safety. They said to seize people from different races and genders come into action to help total strangers is absolutely amazing to see. How awesome's that?
No, I remember reading that when it happened and thinking, that's how you do shit.
Exactly.
That's how stuff gets done.
Here's a controversial one for a positive. Prince Harry got engaged to Meghan Markle.
Oh.
What's your thoughts, Maisie?
I don't care.
Hey!
It's one of those things where, okay, I do... I see value in the royal family. I know a lot of people don't. I feel really sorry for her because she has gotten so much shit just for having a boyfriend who is royal.
Yeah.
And becoming engaged to that boyfriend, which is a perfectly normal thing for adults to do.
I could sit there and talk about, like, the politics behind the royal family and why I think that it's either a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
But part of me just wants to sit here and go, oh, look, he's two happy people. Yeah, and the ginger guy got a date. Ginger has got a date. We should all be happy about that.
I think the main thing for it, just in general about it, is that at least it's a step in the right direction when it comes to the modern royals and the way that they have always been way more... they have just been more allowed to be a normal family. There is... there are still things that are always going to be over their shoulders, which is the fact that they will have to be ruler of the country one day if you go down a certain line. The fact that they will always be in the public eye. The fact that there are rules and things that they are never going to be allowed to do. However, the fact that they can go to a regular primary school, even though you are the prince of all of England,
yeah,
and will one day be king, the fact that you can just hang about in your pyjamas and meet Barack Obama, the fact that you can marry whoever the fuck you want, because it doesn't matter if she's an actress, if she's
American.
Mixed race, if she's American, if she's been naked on the telly... Who gives a shit? Appar- apparently all the tabloids. Yeah.
Was it that article once said, gay marriage will lead to a lesbian queen?
Gay marriage will lead to a lesbian queen. Oh, a recent report as well. It wasn't a report. It was an asshole. Somewhere in the church, I don't even know who, said that we should pray for Prince George not to be gay.
Oh, I did see that last year, actually, yeah.
And then another priest went, I think you'll find we should pray for him to be gay. As a sort of counterpoint of, just imagine what that would do for equality amongst the sexes.
Exactly.
If one of our sooner-to-be kings was gay. And it was one of those moments of, please stop talking about a four-year-old sexuality.
Yeah.
It's getting weird.
Now, this is another one where we sort of look at it and we go, it was obviously an awful thing, and we did have many situations like this year. Las Vegas.
Yes.
The music festival where, I can't even remember how many people were killed and injured.
It was up to 40?
I think it was more than that. And we saw things like that. We saw inspirational stories like this at all attacks like that this past year, whether it be Manchester, Las Vegas. Do you remember the London attack just outside Parliament when...
There were two different attacks in London last year.
But the one which was late at night and we were... I was up at Chris's house up the road from us.
And a few doors down.
And you were at home, which is a few doors down, and you ended up coming up to
I saw the news and was terrified. I don't want to be alone right now. So I came up to you and Chris and we watched the news together and just waited for everything to be okay again.
Yeah.
And the thing is with the amount we've had an abnormal amount of attacks this year, it feels like. I'm sure statistically I don't know how it works out, but it's the fact that yes, in every single one of these situations there have been standout people who have said openly, or not even said openly, they just opened up their doors, they opened up their shops and their cab services. People were, like, in the Manchester attacks in particular, there were cab drivers who were offering free rides to anyone who had been in that area to make sure that they got home safe. And they weren't charging them either. They were just like, look, you need to get, you and your young children need to get home. I will take you there.
That London attack that we remember watching on TV, do you remember, and it went viral afterwards,
There was a man who still had his pint in his hand as everyone else was running away from this terror spot.
Sauntering away from the terrorist attack.
He had his pint in one hand, he was holding his girlfriend's hand with the other.
And a jacket around his shoulder.
And he had a jacket around his shoulder, and he was like, oh, fuck it, I'm having a good night. And these fuckers aren't going to stop me.
And this was the other bit that I saw from about the Las Vegas one. This is from Business Insider. A 30-year-old copy machine repairman called Jonathan Smith shouted, active shooter, let's go, we have to run. And he led people to a parking area where they hid behind rows of cars. When he saw that a few girls weren't fully covered, he exposed himself to the gunfire to stand up and warn them and was shot in the neck. Smith's sister-in-law started a GoFundMe page to help with his medical expenses,
so he's five.
Which surpassed $7,000 in less than a day, and he ended up surviving it.
Yay!
And he saved many people's lives, and he's been honoured because of it.
Well, damn right he should have been honoured because of it.
Here's another...
And the really sad thing about all of it is that it shouldn't have happened in the first place. And that's the sad part about any of these incidents that occurred over the past year. Some of them I can barely believe were only last year.
I've got two more from this website that I want to go into quickly. Mm. One is, do you remember the Ice Bucket Challenge? From many years
ago. It was like 2014 or something.
More than that, 2013, maybe 2014. Well, that was obviously for ALS, which I can't remember I can't remember what ALS stands for, but it is a motor nerve neuron disease.
Yes.
And they did the Ice Bucket Challenge, and it raised a lot of awareness for it and a lot of money, Well, this past year, Israeli scientists announced that there is a new treatment for ALS, and it could possibly be a cure, or the nearest thing to a cure. After the famed Ice Bucket Challenge helped raise money to research a cure, Israeli scientists at Ben-Gurion University found a way to stop the increased activity of glial cells, restoring the nervous system's immune defences and increasing life expectancy. It says this could also have major implications on the life expectancy of other neurodegenerative disease patients with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's.
Whoa. Also, say and cure again.
Cure.
Cure.
Cure. Cure.
Cure.
Cure. The drugs don't work. Cure. By the cure.
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 But
I can't say it properly.
Like, that's incredible. And it's a story that, like, I hadn't heard about, and you hadn't heard about.
Yep,
do you know why? Because of Covfefe. Because of shit like that. That's why we don't hear about this
stuff.
No,
we've stopped talking about him now. Can we please move on? So I was going to do another one. Another positive.
Yeah, go on.
Australia legalised gay marriage.
Yeah, quite a few places did. And on similar notes, Saudi Arabia now allow women drivers.
It seems really small in the grand scheme of things.
Women are allowed to drive on their own.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, it sounds really bad.
Equality, woo!
But it is a step in the right direction.
It is.
Yeah.
And finally, a 16-year-old used Twitter to ask Wendy's for free chicken nuggets for a year, and it worked.
He is the most retweeted tweet of all time.
Yep.
He beat Ellen.
For people who don't know, the internet can be a volatile place with anonymous trolls spewing hate at people they've never met. But one 16-year-old chicken nugget enthusiast helped make it better and a friendlier place. Carter Wilkinson's request for free chicken nuggets from Wendy's became the most retweeted tweet of all time, beating Ellen DeGeneres's Oscar selfie. So Wendy's obliged and granted him a year of free chicken nuggets. They said, "You've more than earned our respect and the nuggets." Wendy's also donated $100,000 to the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, which Wilkinson asked his followers to donate to.
Oh.
So he asked his new followers that followed him because of that to donate to this charity, Dave Thompson Foundation for Adoption, and Wendy's donated some as well.
Yay!
So that's a really nice story. Cool. See, good things did happen in 2017.
And on a more personal note, we graduated in 2017.
We did. Maisie, it's been a year. It's been a strange year.
It was a really weird year. We had our final year of university.
The final ever squabble box where I was moving away to the other end of the country, never to see you again.
I know, and you're back.
I'm back. Wait.
You slept in my bedroom for 2 weeks.
In your loft for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I nearly ruined my relationship with my new roommates because of that.
Yeah, it's been a strange year.
We both had significant breakups.
Yep.
We are now with different people.
Yep.
Not from each other. Yeah, from each other, but not like, it sounded like I meant like we broke up from each other. We didn't.
Oh, yeah, no.
No, we both had separate relationships that ended in dramatic and horrible ways.
Stop the fan fiction. There is no fan fiction.
There's no fan fiction.
Thank God.
Like, we both had pretty dramatic breakups for their own reasons, and that now we're in new relationships.
Yep.
With other people. That's fun.
And it's, yeah, it is.
We're all going to hang out later.
Yeah, this is weird. Like, we're all happy now.
Yeah, no, I have to admit, a lot of 2017 was shite for me, like on a personal level.
Yeah.
The amount of stress and anxiety and near depression that finishing my university and then having to spend that summer trying to find a job, feeling completely out of place, not really knowing where I fit in the whole grand scheme of things. And luckily I had a lot of people to help me through that. I had you, and I had our friend Hannah, and I had Sam, who is now, like, and you're all very important parts of my life, and I'm very glad to have you in my life. in a way... I'm really bad at wording nice things.
No, this is nice. This is Maisie. We don't get this very often from you.
It's one of those things where I really needed my friends this year, and you were always there for me.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy to have you all. And the end of 2017 was a much happier affair than the beginning. We both had to go through a lot of shit this year on a personal level to come out much happier on the other end.
Yeah. I try not to regret things.
No, it's one of those situations.
At one point, I was happy with how my life was going at the start of this year. I really was. And I don't have any hard feelings towards anything or anyone that's happened this year whatsoever. But mentally, physically, well, maybe not physically, I'm a bit in a bad shape at the minute physically, in the way of I'm very, very tired. I've put on quite a bit of weight, and I'm, quite worn. I've thrown my back out as well.
Yeah,
you saw about this on Facebook.
You tried to make a flat white coffee.
I was just reaching up for a cup.
Your back twanged.
And it twanged.
So you spent the rest of the evening lying down, barely able to move, so your girlfriend took the opportunity to draw all over your face.
Yes. Yep.
That's... I love your new girlfriend.
Thank you. but yeah, it was one of those things where now I'm just in a really... It's been a weird few months, but I'm in a really good place now mentally. And that's what I was saying to my girlfriend over the last few days. I was like, I said it to her. I went, it goes in a bit of a wave, really, because I'll have when my mental health is doing really well, my physical health will shoot downhill.
Yeah.
So look forward to that one.
As long as you're fat, I know that you're happy.
Yeah,
that's how that works.
I'm really happy, and I'm really happy to see how 2018 is going to be. It's going to be a nice, relaxing year for Kai.
I think.
So, Maisie, what's your New Year's resolution?
I think just to figure out what I want to do with my life.
Oh God, don't start that. I haven't worked that out either.
I had this. This is another thing that really upset me over 2017. Was not really knowing what I wanted to do with my degree.
Finishing
a degree and realizing that I don't want to make films or television. I like talking about them.
Don't
want
to be an actor.
but I don't really want. I don't want to be. I'm not sure if I want to make them, if I want to be a part of making them. I don't even know if I want to spend the rest of my life talking about them for a living. I might actually be happier just being in retail, as long as I'm not in massive amounts of debt, you know. But
I'm sort of midway through that. I don't want to be in retail for the rest of my life. I'm there like, nah.
I think a lot of the time... for the first few months as well, I've been really craving an actual career, and and I'm having a sort of problem of A, having the confidence to just go for it, and B, not actually knowing what career I want.
I can relate there.
Yeah.
Because like for now, I'm kind of the opposite in a way. I'm not craving a career at the minute. I'm craving the fact of going, you know what? I'm making a lot of money.
That's the difference between you and me.
Yeah, I'm earning a lot of money at the
minute.
You're
earning a lot more than I do.
Because I'm working more hours, and I've had the opportunity to work more hours, is what I should say. So I'm earning money, but still being able to do what I want to do in the future for a career on the side in a voluntary or very, very low-paid instance.
Yeah.
And yet... And I'm able to develop and work on, like, I'm doing a documentary and I'm doing all this kind of stuff and writing more things. And I'm like, yeah, this is cool. This is nice. This is...
comfortable.
It's comfortable. And I'm also pouring coffee on the side to make some money.
Yeah, and the problem I had a little while ago was I managed to get two jobs, one of which nearly killed me, and I'm not doing anymore for the exact reason of I was barely sleeping over the periods of Friday to Sunday, which would be the only times I was working, because I have a day job during the daylight hours, and then I had a job at night as well. And I tried it, I gave it a couple of weeks, and I couldn't hack it. I wanted to, but I had to put my physical health first, and it came to the position where I was talking to my parents about this, and I was really worried that they'd be disappointed that I'd let a second job go. But they were really understanding, and my dad basically explained that you have to work to live, not live to work.
Yeah.
And I think that's the sort of position I want to be in by the end of 2018, is where I'm working because I want to, not because I have to.
What has 2017 taught you?
I think it's taught me to be a lot less naive. I'd say at the beginning of 2017, I was a very different person in the sense of
You're a lot moodier.
I was an angrier person because I didn't have the concept of sometimes things are bad for you and you have to let them go. Out of pure stubbornness, I put myself in situations where I was miserable because I thought that's what I had to do, rather than being something that I could pull away from. And that's not that was not just in my personal life, but also at university, I was putting a lot of pressure on myself for a project that was shit. I was putting in so much effort and so many hours and making myself miserable.
I know what you mean. I do the same now with my radio work. Since I've got back to Lincoln, I now work on projects which I find fun, exhilarating, and things that I personally enjoy doing.
Mm.
You will not see me be doing a breakfast show for a very long time, put it that way.
Yeah, and that was the other position that I was in as well. In my personal life, I was super naive, especially when it came to, like, relationships, and either being stubborn and staying in a relationship much longer than I needed to be, and also being naive enough to think that I could make people like me instead of just waiting until the right person or a right person came along.
Yeah.
Because I also learned to... this is going to sound so cheesy and awful, but I learned that I need to respect myself first and them second.
Yeah.
Not in a horrible way. You should always respect anyone that you're in a relationship with, whether that's a physical relationship or just friendship. But there is a level of selfishness that you need to have in able to be happy for the both of you. Because if you only put your effort into making them happy, then you will end up miserable. There needs to be a balance.
There's a song by Ed Sheeran that's on his new Divide album where it's called Save Myself.
Yes!
And you've got to save yourself before you can save someone else.
Yeah.
Not saying that, you know, you have to save someone, but you've got to put yourself first.
Yeah, you have
to. And work your own shit out before you can work someone else's out.
You can't be in a position of helping others if your own day-to-day is making you miserable.
Yeah.
And that was another great thing that came out of this year, was Ed Sheeran and the way that he conquered Spotify.
Yeah, I talked a lot about Ed Sheeran on Anchill last night, so I think people on this network will probably be there going, Kai, do not talk about him again.
To say is that Divide got me through a very difficult time in my life.
Yep, same
and
here.
I'm quite glad that it's an album that exists, and that's all we need to stick to.
What did 2017 teach me? I quite like cardigans.
You are rocking the cardigan this year.
I'm really into it. This is a new one. Do you like my new one?
I do like your new one. I noticed it was 50. Purple.
It is. It's purple.
It's not purple.
That's purple.
It's blue purple. And red. It's not purple.
Blue and red makes purple.
It's maroon.
It's purple. But I love it. It was 50% off in a discount clothing store.
Nice. I did pretty well in the January sales myself.
Yeah.
But I'm.
Did you say your New Year's resolution?
Yes.
What was it?
To find purpose in life.
Find purpose. Oh gosh. What we need to realise though is that shit will come and go, and It doesn't matter whether we know what we're doing now.
And this is the
thing. Just have fun. Enjoy yourself.
I'm not saying that by this time in December, I should have a new career and be like top of the food chain. I'm saying I need to at least have a direction.
Yeah.
I don't need to make any solid plans. I just need to know that I have something worthwhile to be doing at some point.
I can get that, yeah. So I think that's a good way to round off today's show. I know we said we were going to do like a 2017 review. It's not really happened, but when have we ever stuck to our format here?
Yeah, it's hard to review.
It's been a lot of ranting and raving and...
It's hard to review a year like this.
Yeah.
Because, as we were saying, there's so much negative to dwell on.
Yeah. It's one of those where we want to stay positive. There is a lot of negative. We found some positives, and we hope that 2018 brings some more Squabblecasts.
Hopefully.
I personally do. Some more regularly, you know, a few more.
We
want to get at least one a month, we've said.
Yeah.
I'd love it if we could get two a month. That'd be brilliant. But, you know, they're just going to be here and there. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But we hope you're enjoying them. We've had some really good feedback so far, which I've not filled Maisie in about, but a few people have actually said that they prefer this version to the version when we were on Ofcom regulated, because we can be a bit more grown up about things, which is nice.
We can talk about things that we weren't allowed to talk about before as well, like our
true whole
episode about sexuality.
Yeah, and we were allowed to talk about that, but it's a bit more difficult to do that on mainstream radio or even local radio as it is. But if you want to listen back to either of the two episodes or any of the other Squabble Boxes, make sure you
back
go
we
to the Trending Topics Network on iTunes. Go to the our page on trendingtopicsnetwork.com as well, which the wonderful living legend is sorting out for us and updating. I know that he's had a very, very busy New Year's period, and there is a Squabble Box page, but there's not a Squabble Box page. There is not a Squabble Box page. He's moved it. He's moved it into the former area. We need to sort that out with... Yes, we're in the classics area, I think. I don't know. It's not there, though.
This is riveting.
Where's Squabble Box gone? Oi! Legend, what are you doing? there's outdated ones on there.
These are the opinions of Kai Valentine and not necessarily the opinions of Maisie Anderson.
But make sure you update your page, Ian.
Rude.
But you can go to the Trending Topics Network and find some great shows, including, as Kai loads up the page.
Doing great.
Podbean. TrendingTopicsNetwork.podbean.com. Because that's got the most updated, I think. Let's have a look. Active shows. The Spanish Announce Table. All Beer Inside. I'm not even sure whether half of these shows still exist. All Beer Inside. European Uppercut. Not been around for ages. That's mine. Tuts Experience. One Up Clubs. Heads Up. Lou Chat. CFL Easy Picks. Hanging with Heavy. What's on Fight? Eurovision Showcase. Legends on Siren Radio. Wrestling Cheers. TTN at the Movies. Old School at the Movies. And Tim and Tom. Some great shows been going out recently from Tim and Tom from Wrestling Cheers. I know Heavy's been working very, very hard on that one. Eurovision Showcase, as always, catching up on the latest one from the 31st of December 2017, the final one of the year from Kieran Tuttiot. I'm currently in a backlog of episodes for Legends and for Anne Chill, but working through those. And, oh, of course, The View from the Fourth Row as well, with the wonderful Mr. Fourth Row. Check that one out. But, Maisie,
yes.
I think it's time that we leave everyone.
Aww.
How do we end the show?
By wishing everyone a very happy new year.
Happy new year! And we'll see you all right back here